countries, foreign and domestic. When a person raises their hand to take an oath to defend this country, they do so, as we know, to defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I think that we have a pretty good idea about how the government and the military handles the foreign enemies. But it seems as of late, some people in elected offices, mainly Congress or the Senate, need clarity. They need clarity about how the military can be used domestically for problems that may arise sometime soon. I found an article about this exact topic, and I want to read through it, and I want to get your reaction, and I'll give you my reaction when we get through it, because I think that there's something else going on here, maybe, instead of just looking for clarity. So stick with us. Don't go away. We start now. Hey, everybody, and welcome here to the next installment of the Richard Leonard Show. I want to, as always, take a second to thank you all for being here. If you're new, thanks for trying us out. If you're a repeat offender, thanks again. Thanks again for stopping by. It is always humbling to see the numbers of the show grow. It's always awesome to see participation in the comments, the emails we get offline, that type of thing. We really do appreciate it. So thank you, sincerely. Before we get started on today's conversation, of course, I got to tell you about how the show is made possible. And that is by Mr. Carlos Cortez Jr. and his staff over at Cortez Wealth Management. Get yourselves on over to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com and sign up for the webinar that happens on Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Carlos Cortez and his staff, they want to sit with you and meet you. They want to know you, and they want to help you plan and execute a tax-free retirement plan. Get started as soon as you can. If this is a plan that will work for you, get started as soon as you can. Your comfort in your latter days depends on it. Now, once you get through the webinar, of course, take in all the information. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns at all, please be sure to contact them and ask those questions. Address those concerns. That's what they're there for. They are ready, willing, and waiting to see you, to meet you, to speak with you. AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Get on over there. Check them out. You'd be doing yourself a disservice by at least not checking it out, because things can be a whole lot better for some when it's time to sit back and enjoy the fruits of your labor. AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Get on over there. Okay, so as I was saying in the intro, it appears that there are a couple legislators in our federal government that have some, I would call, burning questions about how the President of the United States and the Pentagon are allowed to use members of the United States military for domestic issues. We all know how the government uses the United States military abroad and for issues outside of our borders. But does anybody really know the rules about using the military inside of our borders? Well, we're going to kind of go over that a little bit. And I'll tell you this before we get started. I am not an expert on military doctrine or the use of the military in our own land. I know a little bit about a little bit. I don't know it all. And so there's probably some things that I will miss. And of course, there isn't a whole lot of people that want to come on a platform and discuss this. At least that I was able to talk to. If you are one of those people and you're knowledgeable about this and you know that, please reach out to us because it would be good information to know. Because according to this article that we're going to go through, it seems like they're expecting some kind of problems here domestically. But let's get through it. It's a very short article, so we shouldn't have any problem getting through it pretty quickly. Okay, so it's titled, Lawmakers Push Pentagon to Clarify on Domestic Military Deployments. A pair of Democratic lawmakers are seeking senior defense leaders to clarify rules for deploying military personnel on U.S. soil amid increasing political rhetoric about changing such restrictions so that units can respond to immigration or protest problems. Well, is that the problem right there? Did they let the problem out in the first paragraph? They're worried about immigration and protest problems? See, maybe that's what this is really all about. Not that they're really concerned about how we're going to mismanage the military inside of our borders. But do they see these things becoming a problem in the future? Let's continue. And by the way, this article came out this last Wednesday on the 15th of August. In a Wednesday letter to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and Joint Chiefs Chairman General C.Q. Brown, the representatives Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan and Mike Shirell, I probably am just butchering his name, of New Jersey, asked the leaders to clarify and publicly explain the limits of military use for domestic issues, calling it a matter essential to maintaining our democracy in the near future. We feel compelled to look ahead to decisions that you, as the most senior defense officials, may be called upon to make in the next 6 months, the pair wrote. These decisions will fall squarely onto the constitutional roles that you swore to uphold, and we know you both respect them. How do you know that? How does anybody know that? We are relying on you to preserve the system that our founding fathers designed. Well, our founding fathers, first of all, didn't design a system, to the best that I can gather. They didn't design a system for the government to lie to the people. They didn't design a government to steal from the people. I don't think that they designed a government that is doing what our government is doing to the American people right now. For example, let's just take President Biden and Kamala Harris, for example. Now, by no means am I a supporter of either one of those idiots. But all throughout this country, didn't we have primaries? Wasn't Joe Biden on the ticket in all these primaries all over the country? Wasn't it reported that he had an overwhelming, in my opinion, what is an overwhelming amount of votes for him to continue as our president? After all of us have sat by and watched him destroy this place. But yet, he had overwhelming amount of votes? I believe that's a lie. I believe that's fake. Our founding fathers didn't design a government to do that. Let's continue. In their letter, Slotkin and Sherrill, a former Navy pilot, asked the military leaders for public assurances that the limits on domestic use of military forces are still in effect, and that federal laws prohibit any president from ordering troops to circumvent those rules for political purposes. They also asked for assurances from the Pentagon leaders that if the president were to issue such an unlawful order, you would refuse to carry out that order. So they're openly asking these two gentlemen, who are the top two officials in the DOD, if they are going to ignore the president's orders. Now, they say unlawful order, but what makes them unlawful? And when they say that they asked for assurances that the limits of domestic use of military forces are still in effect and that the federal law prohibits any president from ordering troops to circumvent those rules for political purposes. To me, that sounds like tell Donald Trump that he can't use the military to fight his political battles. Are they already assuming that Donald Trump is going to be elected? And so, what is a political purpose? What do they define as a political purpose? Would a political purpose be that you need to call in the military because, like here in Minnesota, our senior leadership abandoned the police when they were being attacked in their home and it was started on fire? And piss bottles and Molotov cocktails and violence all over Minneapolis and everywhere else, really. It happened all over the country. Is that a political purpose? When Donald Trump offered Tim Walz military assistance to help defend the home of the Minneapolis Police Department, is that a political purpose? Or is that trying to bring back law and order into a lawless situation? I mean, do these people really think that majority of America believes that things like that, like what I just described, is done? Like Donald Trump offered military assistance to the state of Minnesota to help dispel the riots. Is that for political gain? Like, did he do that for votes? Or did he do that because Tim Walz and Jacob Frey, the cuck mayor of Minneapolis, wasn't doing anything to help those cops who were trapped and being attacked? They weren't doing anything to help the business owners of Minneapolis and anywhere else in this state. I'm from Minnesota, by the way, if you didn't know. They weren't doing anything else to help business owners who were losing their whole livelihoods. They were handcuffing the police from bringing law in order to a lawless situation. So the president said, well, here's some soldiers. Soldiers are trained in this type of thing, this type of bullshit. We're not trained to do it at home. But if someone's destroying our home, you bet your sweet ass we will. We'll do it. And the response he got was, no, thank you, sir. We got it. Was it for political purposes that the military could have been used in places like Portland, Oregon, when that place was under siege? Could the Washington National Guard been called in to help take care of the infestation that happened in Seattle? Where, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember properly, these shitheads took over a park or some square or a couple square blocks, whatever it was, for weeks and allowed nobody in there. And if you had to go in there because you worked or lived inside this place, you had to pay or some dumb shit like that. Would that all have been for political gain? I mean, I'm just having a hard time understanding where these two hunyucks are coming from, I guess is all I'm trying to say. The Defense Department officials declined comment. I'm sure that they did. Declined comment on the letter, but said that they would follow up directly with the two congressional offices. What the military can and cannot do on American soil has been a friction point among Republicans and Democrats in recent years, particularly concerning comments from Donald Trump during and after his presidency. Trump has suggested he would use active duty troops and guardsmen in the deportation of immigrants from America, and said the military could be used as a domestic police force to respond to urban violence and protesters. Okay, well, that's true. If the president of the United States gives the power to individual states to deputize their National Guards, which would mean they would have to institute martial law, to the best of my understanding. Maybe there's some other way to do it without instituting martial law and putting curfews and shit in place. Then yeah, they can be called up to do that. That's not for political gain. And it's pretty cut and dry. And why would we not want that? Why would we not want a force of highly trained men and women to take this country back? Why would we not want a force of highly trained men and women to hit our streets and hunt down illegal immigrants and get them the hell out of here? Who would argue with that? Who in their right mind would argue with that? I have an idea, though. How about we hunt them down, take them into custody, and before we deport them, we give them the opportunity to be fostered or adopted. And we go out, and we also find these people who don't care that they're here or say that they should be here because this is a free country, and bring them with all of their shit and demand that they house them for a week. You want them here? You live with them. How is that any different? Just on a much smaller scale. But see, nobody wants to take the responsibility of actually having to care for people. Nobody wants to take the responsibility for anybody else's actions. They just want to cause problems. And so now when we do have a potential leader who says, well, if state and local governments are going to handcuff the police and not allow them to do their jobs, I'll just send in the military. I wouldn't think that there's a whole lot of soldiers, at least soldiers from a time the time in which I served, I don't believe that there's a whole lot of them that would have any objection to hitting the streets of America and finding the people that infiltrated this country illegally and getting them out of here. Some will say, well, you know, you're not going to find any soldiers that are going to turn on American citizens. We're not asking them to turn on American citizens. We're asking them to protect American citizens by getting the illegal citizens out of here. My other question is, how many more young ladies, children, need to be abducted and raped under bridges, in cars, in their own homes, wherever these atrocious crimes are happening? How many of these things need to happen before we say enough's enough? And one would argue that, well, it isn't all of them. Some of them are really here because they need help and they need this. Okay. Go through the proper channels. I read not long ago, just a day or two ago, that there are governments in South America, Venezuela, I think it was Venezuela and Guatemala or something like that, that are emptying out their prisons, their jails, and letting people go with under the understanding that they go to the USA. We'll let you out of jail, but you got to get the hell out of here so that we don't have to deal with you anymore. And the State Department allegedly knows about this and said, okay, well, we'll process them. Process them for what? Process them the fuck out of here. I don't know how many of you have small children or small grandchildren. But if one of your children or your grandchildren or your nieces or nephews or your neighbor kids or whatever was abducted from the playground, dragged into the bushes and raped by some illegal alien and left there to die, and hopefully found by somebody, some passerby or somebody that saw something, or they have the power to scream out for help. Hopefully, that isn't one of these people. Hopefully, we can get these degenerates out of here before that happens. And if one of these children belongs to you in any way, would that change your mind? If you're a person that thinks that we should help all of them, we don't need a wall. They're just a bunch of people looking for help. We don't need a wall. But then that happens to somebody important to you, somebody close to you. It doesn't even need to be a child. What if it's your sister, your wife, your girlfriend, your coworker? Are you going to be outraged? I imagine you'd be outraged no matter who it is. But I imagine that you'll be even more outraged when and if you find out that this was done by a person who shouldn't have been here anyway, who should have been stopped at the border and told to turn around and pound sand and get the hell out of here. And if you come back, we're going to shoot you. Get gone and stay gone. I knew this police officer who's now retired. I laugh because I'm very close to him. And he used to, way back in the day when it was more acceptable to give out tough love lessons as a police officer on the streets, he used to take these people's shoes and throw them in the river and tell them, you get walking, you get gone and stay gone, don't come back. I find you here, I'm going to whoop your ass, and I'm going to take you to jail. If I find you here again, it's going to happen. It's going to happen every time I see you. I'm going to whoop your ass and take you to jail. And if you ask this person, many of those people didn't come back to the city that he policed. At least he didn't see them anyway. So they steered clear to him. Why don't we have the same mentality at the border? You're not coming in. Get out of here and don't come back. If you come back, your consequence is going to be far worse than an ass whooping. You see, we've come too far, guys. We've come way too far to be able to turn back. We've come too far to be nice. We're too far over the edge. Now is the time where sacrificial lambs need to be taken. The time is now. And the question is, when are we going to have any kind of leadership that is going to display a mentality that says, if you don't belong here, sorry, but you got to go. Instead of bringing in more and more and more and more. When is that going to stop? But see, part of the problem, in my opinion, is that there's a lot of folks that think on the side that we're on, but they don't say nothing, they don't do nothing until they're pushed to the breaking point. Well, maybe we're at a place where we've surpassed the breaking point. Now we have to rule with an iron fist. Until we get our country back. And if we have to use members of the military to do it, then we should do that. I mean, hell, that's what the National Guard is for anyway, right? To defend the borders of this country, to defend each state. It's not just for floods, not just for rescue operations when there's a hurricane down south. Yeah, they're there for that too. But when you join the military, you already know that there is a chance, there's always a chance that you are going to be thrown into the lion's den. There's a chance you will have to fight for your life or fight for the life of the person next to you. And I think that that's where we're at. There's men, military age males walking over this border every day. And then they come up to wherever it is that they want to go in this country and just start wreaking havoc everywhere. They're sexually assaulting our children. They're beating up our elderly and everything in between. And yet we still have people. We still have American citizens that'll say that we should allow these folks in. We should reach out our helping hand. I mean, this is America, after all. We should be helping these people. Well, I'll agree with one thing. We should be helping them. We should be helping them get the fuck out of here. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Hey guys, while we take a break here, I want to just mention something to you. We're coming up to the end of August in the year 2024, which means we're coming close to the 4-year anniversary of the Stu Peters Network. We've been here faithfully. Just the Richard Leonard Show alone, the one you're watching right now this week, is the 123rd show in a row. For 123 weeks in a row, I have been here with you on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to try to provide you some kind of insight into what's going on around us as it pertains to our military members and the veterans in our communities. Now, is there a lot of things going on that I probably don't know a lot about? Yep. Yeah, there is. But I try to do a good job to provide you things that I think are going to be helpful for you if you are a veteran or veterans that you may know or veterans in your community. Things that you can take to the water cooler, so to speak, have conversations about, and then act on them for your own good and maybe to mention to others so they can act on it for their own good. And in this time, the network has never asked for a dime. The network has put out multiple documentaries, life-saving documentaries, like Died Suddenly. Died Suddenly was viewed over 100 million times worldwide. And if it saved one, two, three people's lives, especially children, well, then I think that we're here at the network, we're all happy with that. We're all good with that. But the truth is that it probably saved a lot more lives than just a few. Now, you're watching the show on Rumble right now. If you look below the actual video and you see a red button there, it'll say Stu Crew. Here, I'll put it up on the screen. Right next to the follow or following button, it's highlighted in red there, and I circled it with my red computer pen. This is a screenshot from last week's show. If you click on that button, you can join the Stu Crew. And what that gets you, we're asking for $9 a month. $9 a month or $90 a year. So if you want to do a yearly subscription, you get 2 months for free. But what this gets you is all kinds of extras. The powers that be at the network, Stu and the other people who are running the show behind the scenes, have all kinds of ideas for things for our premium subscribers to be able to take advantage of. So check it out. Click on the button if you feel so inclined, and you won't miss $9 a month. Then we graciously ask you for your support. That's it. So, $9 a month, $90 a year. Join the Stu Crew, and help us all to continue to bring you the quality content that we've been bringing you. And it also just helps us to know that we are supported. We're supported by a fan base, and we're supported by people who actually give a shit about what's going on in this country. So we got to get back to the show. Look, I've run over time once again, even in the commercial. So $9 a month. Click the Stu Crew button. Join us. There's a lot more information to come. Stu Crew button. It's right down over here somewhere. We'll see you back for the next segment of the show. Take care. Hey guys, welcome here to the next segment of the show. I got to tell you, for a long time on this show, I tried really, really hard to watch my mouth. And I realized just during the break that I've been using a few more cuss words than normal. And so I want to say that that's what happens. That's what happens when people get passionate. That's what happens when you sit when you have to sit by and watch the things that are happening to our country happen, I get so angry. I get so angry about the things that are going on around here, meaning in our country, because it all seems so planned. It all seems organized. And sometimes it feels like we're just being duped. It feels like we're just being duped by the mainstream media. We're being duped by our own government. And it's hard to know what really to understand as the truth, if anything. And I think that if we can take anything away from the experiences that we've had the last few years as Americans, it is that more often than not, the places that we once went to for assurance, for information, for comfort, if you will, are the places now that we're finding out have been completely lying to us. And even more so now that we know more now than ever, I believe, that we've been being lied to by the government and by the mainstream media. And it's like, they don't even care. It seems like CNN, watch CNN, if you can tough it out for 30 minutes, watch CNN for 30 minutes. And it's like, they don't even try to like make their things believable. They just understand that they have a following of people that are just sheep. And whatever they say is going to be gospel for the people that follow them religiously. And those of us that are the types of Americans that question things, it's super clear. And so then you get jaded, right? Like I believe that we become jaded in all of this stuff because we've been living in these potential lies. And as days go by, that's not potential anymore. Like in more and more, day after day, week after week, month after month, and as the years go by, it's just all becoming proven to be a lie. And so everything that we know, everything that we do, the way we move around our communities, the way that we shop for groceries, the way that we use our cell phones, the way that we use our computers to do whatever you do on them, whether you play games or you do work or you're surfing the internet, watching YouTube or, you know, doing things that your mother wouldn't be proud of, whatever it is, it's all becoming more and more shady as time goes by. And seemingly, everything is, one way or another, connected to this big thing called the internet. And there's no hiding anything. Which works both against us and for us, because without things like the internet and without people who have learned how to manipulate this thing called the internet to be able to find the truth and look in places where people thought they were hiding stuff, we wouldn't know. We'd still be living in this super fabricated lie. But on the other hand, Now we know. Now we know. And what do we do with that information, right? Do we hunker down in our homes and build fallout shelters and start stockpiling ammo and guns and food and water and making sure that if we have adult children, that they have guns and food and water and a place to go if they can't make it to our place? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things. And as days go by, and weeks and months and years go by, this thing called the American dream seemingly becomes smaller in the rearview mirror. And to me, it's frustrating as hell. Because, as we've talked about on this show many times, the idea that millions of Americans sacrificed everything since the inception of this country, men and women have sacrificed everything. Everything that you think is important, everything that you hold dear, everything, they sacrificed it for this thing called the American dream. And now, because of things like the internet and because of things like the demons of the swamp, now that American dream is becoming smaller in the rear view. And it seems like in those rare instances where we get to put the car in reverse and that dream in the rearview mirror seems to get a little bit bigger, and we take off forward again, and here we go. Start to get smaller again. So the question is, at what point do we lose sight of that? Some people are asking, is that even a real thing? Was it ever even a real thing? Was there anybody ever, no matter how good or how bad, anybody who ever said they're chasing the American, was it ever real? I don't know. What do you think? So, I mean, hell, we could go around and round about this for quite some time. But to get back to the original, I mean, here we go again, down goat trails. Maybe we should rename this show called the Richard Leonard Show and His Goat Trails. Because I always seem to end up down some goat trail. It does not 1,000% have to do with the topic at hand. But now here we are. With all that being said, now here we are with members of Congress and in the Senate asking about clarification about how military members can be used domestically. And they even outlined in the first paragraph what exactly they're worried about: immigration and protests. So that leads me to believe that they already know that there's going to be problems. And they may be right on the protest side. I don't know that it matters who wins the election. Either side, the other side of the ticket that doesn't win is going to have people protest. And people challenging the election and filing lawsuits and doing recounts and this and that and the other thing. Unless, of course, Donald Trump gets his too big to cheat or too big to rig deal, where he wins by a landslide that is no one's able to fix. There's no way you can cheat. You can't fix the results on this one. These people that are voted into these elected positions, they know exactly how the military can be used domestically. They know. They know exactly because they are the ones that when and if it needs to be done, they collectively have to approve it. I believe that's how it works. So they've been trained. So why publicly ask for re-clarification? Why do you need clarification? You know exactly what the rules are. You know exactly how it works. And you know for sure that if the President of the United States, no matter who it is, declares an emergency such as an infiltration or an invasion from outside our borders, the military can be called upon to act. And that is not turning the military on United States citizens. That's not what that means. Because these people are not United States citizens. They are here illegally. Now, what I will say is, any of these idiots who decide that they're going to defend the illegals and get in the way of the job that the military is doing, well, then they can go too. You can go ahead and leave. Go right along with these folks that you want to defend. Take your knowledge, take whatever expertise it is you have to be successful, if any, and go with them. Teach them your ways at their home or some other place that'll accept them. And then you both can be successful together. But Americans don't want them here. They don't. We do not want to be in a position where our children and our elderly and the rest of our families and friends and everything else are all at risk every time they leave the house. Especially if you are a person that lives in a metro area, a large metropolitan area. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being the mother or father of a little boy or girl who's sitting at the kitchen table eating a snack or lunch and doing some homework or whatever it is kids do at little kitchen tables now and being shot in the head by a stray bullet? And you rush in to see what's going on, and there's your child with most of their blood on the floor, leaking out of the wound. And you have no idea where it came from and what happened. Now, that doesn't just happen because illegal immigrants are here. But it has happened because illegal immigrants don't give a shit when they're out doing whatever it is they do to cause trouble and they start shooting at each other or at other people and bullets are flying. It also happens in urban neighborhoods. I guess what I'm trying to say is that the likelihood of these types of things happening is a whole lot higher. And we already have enough trouble keeping our own communities of Americans from killing each other in the streets and killing our kids by mistake or on purpose. I'm sure that happens too. We have enough sick and twisted Americans in this country that are stealing our kids anyway and selling them as sex slaves or workers to sweatshops. And our governments, state governments, know that it happens. They know it. And they put these pukes in jail for a day or three, let them bail out, and then they're right back to it. Check out, if you don't believe me, get on the Google machine or DuckDuckGo, whatever you use to search, and find, look up some information about the sex trafficking and the sex trade in Sacramento, California. You'll be appalled. And that's our own people. Not to mention the ones who are here illegally that are finding women and kids to take back across the border to all these other perverts all over the world. Or these other cult-like gatherings of people that want to sacrifice children to some god or the devil or whoever it is. And I know that the things I say, they're these examples are pretty extreme, but they're happening pretty often. And even if the I find examples that are half as extreme, you still don't want that to happen to anybody close to you. And so my point is this. These two idiots that are in the United States Senate, I believe it was the Senate, they know damn well how the military can be used domestically. They also know damn well what's going on in this country. In fact, some would say that they're probably in on some of it, if not all of it, in some way, shape, or form. We have to, as a group of people, as a country of people, as Americans, ask questions and hold these son of a bitches accountable. And don't just say, okay. I'm going to tell you what, guys. If it looks like shit, and it smells like shit, and it feels like shit, if you're into feeling it, it's shit. So you should probably ask questions. That's it. We've run out of time for today's show. So I want to, again, I want to thank you and remind you, Stew Crew, join the Stew Crew. There's a lot more conversations to be had. So join us on the crew and, we will get you all the content that we can muster up. We continue to work hard for that. So, take care of yourselves. Have a amazing week and enjoy the rest of your evening. Good night.
We all have one common enemy. His name is Satan, and right now his minions are trying to run this country.
The German nation does not wish its interests to be determined and controlled by any foreign nation. France to the French, England to the English, America to the Americans, and Germany to the Germans. We are resolved to prevent the settlement in our country of a strange people which was capable of snatching for itself all the leading positions in the land and to oust it.
Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it.
On September 11th, 2001, were perhaps the most shocking and terrifying events in U.S. history.
The witness called police, who stopped the van hours later and arrested five men. All five, it turns out, were Israeli.
And I could see that they were, like, happy. I thought it was very strange. They have to get the blessings of this country before they can swear an oath to our Constitution. They won't get any spotlight in the Zionist-funded media. And one of the scariest things in the world is that nobody is willing to admit that. Nobody wants to have that conversation. Why is our army not arresting pedophiles who put their dicks in little kids' faces during the whole month of June?
Chew me, sue me, everybody do me, kick me, kite me, don't jump like a fight.
The Jewish watchword, workers of the world unite, workers of all classes and of all nations, recognize your common enemy. Recognize your common enemy.
If that's the one sensitive subject that nobody wants us to talk about, then I think it's pretty obvious that's the thing that we should be talking about.
The Jews will control the world.
They don't really care about us.